Blog Talk Radio.
From A Good Story is a Good Story. I changed the whole thing now. I was going to not say Marcia Casper Cooks, but I'm just saying it's Marcia. Anyway, hi, it's me. Bethany is laughing. Hi. It's February 19th, and it's 8 o'clock p.m. Central, and I'm in Chicago, and actually it's pretty good out here today. It's only like 15 degrees, so it's not bad. Yesterday was 60 almost. So, but anyway, we have a great show today. We have another one of our hot, sexy romance shows, and it's going to be really a lot of fun. And we have not had, I don't think, too many people from Naughty Nights Press, and this is their show tonight. This is introducing some of the authors, and the other ones that will be listening, they're more than happy to just, you know, email me, and we'll get a time for you. And that's tonight. So, yeah, we have, and Bethany is with me tonight. Hi, Bethany.
Hi, Marcia.
How you doing? The chat room is open, right?
Chat room's open.
Yeah. I'm not in it yet. Okay. I'm not in it yet. I'll be chatting enough. Okay. I'm going to talk, just going to say some of the shows coming up so we can do that. So, because once we start talking, we don't want to do that. So I'll probably say it at the end. But, okay, tomorrow, Virginia Grenier, the other half of World of Ink, she is having a Family Matters show, and it's student safety, and it's, like, about bullying and things like that, and it's a really good show. Keisha, Irene, and Virginia are on it, and they talk about a lot of, you know, kids and family and things like that, and it's a very interesting show, and that is at 4 p.m. Eastern. And then, let's see, Fran has a show on, Fran Lewis has a show. Well, actually, she has a show on Red River tomorrow, but she also has a show on Thursday with us at World of Ink. And Michael Palmer and James Grappando are on, and Bethany will be with her, right, 4 o'clock. That's it. And J.D. Holiday has our children's show on Saturdays, which is a very popular show. It's only 15 or 20 minutes, but it's packed in with information because it's all really just the kids' stories. We don't really talk about too much else, and J.D. does it, and it's at 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern, and it's 7 o'clock Pacific, so don't worry about it because it's archived and you can hear it later. So that's where all the people come in. You know, they listen archived, and the kids really love the show. It's a fun show. And so that is this Saturday. Okay, I think that's it, and I think Virginia and I I may be having a show on Friday, but I'm not sure. And we'll put it up if we are. If we're not, she'll probably tell you tomorrow when she's on. But anyway, we have a really good show today. And Elizabeth is the co-host today. Elizabeth?
Yeah, that would be me.
Elizabeth Black, there you are. Mm-hmm. Okay, hi. We've done many shows already together. And so we're going to do this fun one tonight. And Virginia has been actually doing some tours, and we're learning about a lot of these things because neither of us did romance writing. I do now. I have a series out, Virginia Templeton, so we have a lot of romance shows, and so they're always a lot of fun. And Virginia, she had one Monday. She was doing a tour for someone, and which was actually a good show. You know, we have so many of these shows, and we just, you know, she now is included in the romance. We pushed her into this one now, and she's really enjoying it. So that's a good thing. But I started out with doing other books, and I hadn't really done romance shows. But since I did them, I've been having them all the time, and I've met some great people. And so this is like a whole new crew of people for me. And so this is going to be fun. And I should say that actually Bethany is with Rebel Ink Press. Okay, and
right.
But Elizabeth is with many presses. Okay, so Elizabeth, go ahead. You could talk about yourself for a few minutes and then we'll bring everybody
up. I'm Elizabeth Black. I also do write with Naughty Nights Press. I have one book out with them. And I write erotica and erotic romance. Some of my books have been published by Excite Books in the UK. Circlet Press, and other publishers like that. And I also write dark fiction and horror, and so that's a whole other thing. But I kind of scattered all over the place.
Right. Yeah. Well, at least it goes similar together than mine with children's books. So what can I say? Right. But anyway, a lot of us do that. It's not that unusual. Okay. So all right. So who should we bring out first? All right, Cree. Hi, Cree.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, do you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and then, we'll just add later on in a few minutes get into a bit of discussion.
Okay. I'm Cree Walker. I currently am published solely with Naughty Nights Press, and I primarily publish paranormal romance.
Okay, and your books, you want to just say the names of some of your books right now?
Sure.
That's what we will get to that again later at the end, but I want you to say them because they should know what you do.
All right. Currently I have Whisper on a Scream. It's a werewolf fantasy, and it's sequel Willing Sacrifice. And I have one short erotic story. It's romance erotica, not paranormal at all. It's called Taming the Cougar. And that's all I have so far.
That's good. That's enough. Okay. 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 All right. Sharita, Lyra, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm good. We didn't get to talk to you for a few minutes at the beginning, so hi, and I'm nice to meet you. And have you been writing for a long time?
No, actually, I'm a newbie.
That's okay.
Late 2010, which I guess is good. I'm actually published with Naughty Nights and also with Rebel also. Also with XOXO and Sizzler Editions. And I just did a book for Secret Cravings for Christmas. So I have a
You got a lot going
okay.
on.
And I also self-published a couple of things as well. But with Naughty Nights, mostly I did the big series. Just so everybody knows also, I write under three pen names. But the two I write under for Naughty Nights is Rari and B.L. Morticia. And I just did a series for Naughty Nights Press that was just completed called the Something New on the Menu series.
Okay.
I mostly write gay romance and gay erotica, but occasionally I'll dabble in heterosexual stuff, but mostly gay and then romance. And Something New on the Menu is basically gay romance with food as a central theme. So that's what it mostly was. And a couple of titles were like Smooth Like Latte, Candyman was the last one to come out. And the other one is Something Fresh Served Hot, which seems to be the most popular one of all of them.
Okay.
The fourth one was Sugar Daddy. No, I'm forgetting one. Oh, yeah, Time to Make a Donut. So it's the second one. So,
I see that one.
Yeah.
Here. Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah, and I also did a couple of anthos with them as well, which the names escape me right now.
That's okay.
So I'm pretty busy with Nine Lives Press, and I have a couple others coming out with Sam that I'll be sending to Gina pretty soon. So I'm very happy to be there.
That's great. That's good. Okay. And Angelica, how are you?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I live in Canada, so it's colder in Chicago.
Okay.
So I'm envious of your temperatures.
I know. Did you have 55 yesterday or something? No, probably not. Yeah, that's.
I don't even know in Fahrenheit because we do everything in Celsius up here.
Oh, you do? Really?
Yep.
So what does that? So what would it be today in Celsius?
Today was minus 11, so zero is freezing
minus
11. So
wow.
I think it's somewhere around 30 or 40.
Is it windy?
But,
like here?
It was today. Yes.
Yeah. We have that a lot. We have that really. A lot. It's, Chicago is a windy city, but it really is windy. When they say the doors of the car kind of like feel like you can't even control it.
Yeah, we get that in southern Alberta. I'm in northern Alberta. I'm in Edmonton, but I used to live in Medicine Hat. That's where I was born. And you get the windy Chinooks and things down there. And,
yeah.
Yeah, you don't open both doors of your car because everything will gone out
know,
of your
that's
car
true.
In 2 seconds.
I know. So you're writing for primarily, you're writing for a few companies or just?
No, so far everything I have is with Naughty Nights Press.
Okay, that's good.
My two first releases with them came out on the same day, coincidentally. I was published in the Campus Sexploits Anthology, the third one. And I had a short story in there. And I also released my novella the same day, Blue Moon House. It's a vampire BDSM story. And I enjoyed my vampires so much, I decided they each needed to have their own story. So now I'm working on a whole set of prequels.
Okay, well, that's good. So
yeah.
Everybody seems to be really busy here. That's a good thing, it really is, because, I mean, it's like, you know, when you're doing it with a smaller publisher and you get the stuff out, it really doesn't have, you don't have to wait like 3 years. So it's so much more fun when you can get the things out, you know, within a good amount of time. Bethany, before I forget, do you want to just say a little bit about yourself, because so they'll know who you are?
I don't know if I can hang with these naughty girls.
I know. This
is not erotic. It's just erotic romance. So you girls are one up on me. I have four, actually, with Rebel. Mr. Thursday Night, Curiosity, A Simple Seduction, and Masquerade. Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. All right, so that's the Rebel Press. Okay, and then I am Madison Montgomery and my romance series, Virginia Templeton, and it seems to be doing very well, and I'm the publisher of it, and I do children's books also and screenplays. But I really did want to get into the conversation. That's why I did a series of a romance, because I enjoyed having the romance writers on all the time. So Bethany said, you can do this. And I go, okay, I can do this. And I did do it. So, I mean, you know, and there's three short stories, and I have never in all my career done a short story. So we're going to talk about that a little, too. Now, does someone want to talk about short stories and why people are finding them? I think people are really liking them. Does anybody want to take that one?
I just read an article saying that short stories are experiencing a resurgence, and that people are reading more of them, especially in anthologies. I mean, there's one anthology that I'm in right now that just was released about a week and a half ago, and it's selling very, very well. It's a horror anthology. It's not romance.
Right.
But people are picking up the short stories. I mean, part of it is because everybody's busy, and they want to get something with a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right.
But
fast.
They might not have
necessarily time to read
a whole novel. So, you know, short stories are they're like little snacks. So you can get something like at lunchtime. You can enjoy a short story.
I call them like lunchtime, sexy lunchtime reads, because I think a lot of people do that, and they don't want to read them at home, and they read them on their. Everybody's got readers now. It's not only the iPad; it's all the readers. So I think this is really good for everybody that does e-books. You know, Creed, was that you that talked before? Did you say that about a short story?
Yeah, I have one, and I think one of the reasons also why they're being read more often now is people are self-publishing, and there's smaller presses out there that are releasing them more often.
Yeah.
So they're more available.
And I think, well, that's a good thing, because I think that there's so many people have gotten published. In some ways, you know, a lot of people, some people should really be editing and things like that. If they're not going with a small publisher or a traditional publisher, they need to make sure that they edit. I say that every show, because that's a problem for a lot of people. They think you can just publish. You can't just publish. You really should do it right, even if you're publishing it yourself. It doesn't matter. It should always be done, you know. And I'm sure that everybody, because all of you are with publishers, but people that are listening, sometimes they think they can just do it. And, you know, people might think that doing a short story is easy, but it's not that easy, because it has to have a beginning, middle, and end.
Short stories are harder to do than novels, because every word is important, and you have to be very concise.
Yeah.
And especially with anthology calls, they usually have a word limit, and it's usually about 5,000 words, and that's a lot fewer words than you think it is.
I think as I've done all these things all these years, even my screenplays, I never really did word counts. I have a couple novels, but now it's more, they're talking about word count much more than they ever did before because of the shorter stories. But, you know, I mean, it's become a big thing now, you know.
I do flash fiction on my blog, if you want to talk about short.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, do you want to tell everybody your blog? Tell them your blog so they could look.
Wow. AngelicaDawson.blogspot.com. And, yeah, I do 4, I think, flash fiction features every week. And then I also do 200-word teasers on Tuesdays and Hump Day Hook, which is one paragraph on Wednesdays.
Wow.
So
what are you looking for? So people, if they want to, you're looking for people to always write in and give you, you put a lot of people on? Or?
No, this is what I write for people who read
my
blog.
Okay,
yeah,
you write in all of them yourself?
Well, no, most of them are groups. Hump Day Hook, there's a whole set of bloggers that are participating in that one. And it's every Wednesday, Hump Day.
Now, where did you get
this? And
So
the idea is that
okay.
You post one paragraph of your work in progress or a published work, and you're trying to hook a reader into buying your book or reading your book.
Oh, well,
so
that's
you're
like
trying to find the catchiest paragraph you can.
Right, this is now a neurotic synopsis name.
It's not necessarily erotic. No, there
okay.
are
no,
romance
okay.
writers, there are sci-fi
okay.
writers, there's everything
okay.
in there.
All right,
the Tantalizing Teaser Tuesday is mostly erotic writers. It's a 200-word limit based on a picture. And it can be either an excerpt from something you've already written or something written specific for the picture that you've just gotten. So I have one. I found this nice little drawn picture of Sleeping Beauty and the prince waking her up, and I wrote this awful 200-word piece about him waking her up and needing to claim her because this is the only way he's going to get a son or something like that. It was really, really, really kind of awful, but but it was 200 words, and it was really catchy, and a lot of people liked that. But, yeah, we have that. Flasher Fiction Friday is 100 words, and that's on Fridays, and we all write on the same picture. And then I also do Thursday Thrills and After Dark Saturdays.
Do you want to say kind of like a lot of people don't know what flash fiction is, so do you want to say what,
right.
you know, yeah, because I think they don't know what that is maybe.
Yeah, flash fiction usually has a prompt of some sort. A picture or a phrase, or sometimes you pick your own prompt. Like for the teasers, we get to pick our own pictures. And you have a word limit, and it's usually less than 1,000, more often less than 500, and sometimes it's very specific, like 200 words exactly. And, yeah, so you write that. Usually you don't we give ourselves about a week to write it. So you'll get your prompt on Monday, and you have to post the following Monday, for example. So they're generally written quickly. And, yeah, you're trying to tell a story in as few words as you possibly can.
Yeah. That's a hard thing, you know, because I do script writing, and that's, you know, script writing is kind of like an outline for a book because you have to do it, you know, you get like 90 to 120 pages, and it's got to be in a certain amount, certain form, which is a script form, but that's how you learn, actually, to edit out yourself because it's got to be concise. You can't fool around. In a screenplay, there's no time for a lot of description and things like that. So, I mean, that's like kind of a good way for people to learn if they ever are interested in screenwriting is to learn how to cut and edit your own things in your head, you know, because you
right.
do, because you can't do a lot of
yeah.
that. You know, it's a different form. The chat room is open if anybody's in there that wants to ask a question always. We are open to, right? Bethany, are you in the chat room? Because I think I might have. Right. So if anybody wants to say anything. All right, I want to ask, I know that a lot of times, you know, when we have a lot of people on the shows, you know, some of the people that are listening, they don't want to ask certain questions. But, you know, one of the reasons I do a lot of the romance shows is because I'm trying to show to people, you know, make people understand one thing, which is romance, love, sci-fi, whatever you're writing, you still need to get a character. You need, you know, I think people have the misconception you just throw out a story, and that's really not true. You have to still do a whole story no matter what, and you have to pick out characters. So how does anybody feel about the way, because as soon as you say, like, erotica, people go like, oh, I don't want to read that. So does anybody want to answer that one? Or Creed, do you want to?
Me?
Maybe you want to say, yeah. If you are, Sherita, it's all right. I don't care. I know the answer to that, but I'm saying it.
Can I raise my hand now? Okay.
Yes.
Now, I was going to say that one thing, and especially with the genre I write in, which is gay romance, it's even kind of more taboo, even though it's come to the mainstream a little bit. It seems like that when people mention anything about erotica romance or erotica itself, if they don't even want to touch it. It's like it's something that they don't want to read, and they just automatically shun it. And as far as us authors, we're also shunned as well, because it seems like that automatically people just think you write smut. Well, some people
right.
do write smut, but there are other romance authors that
but
go
this is
a lot
huge,
farther
this is a
than
huge
just smut.
Part of the people
yeah.
buying books. I mean, and with
right.
50 Shades of Grey, people that you never, ever, ever thought would be reading it. You, like, will walk in a room
exactly.
and they're, like, reading it. It's like you're going, oh, really? You know, and so I think that's changed some of it, but they still kind of do it where they don't, sometimes people don't want other people to know that that's what they do.
Right, and,
no
and, I, and actually, I mean, I write under three pen names, not because I'm trying to hide, but because I have three different personalities and want a story heard. So it's not... for me, it's mostly that I'm very proud of what I do. I'm very proud of the work I put out. And I do a lot of research with my stories. I mean, I don't just put a story out just to be putting a story out. And I think that's what a lot of people think is that erotica romance writers or erotica writers just write sex and that's it. We build characters, we build a plot, just like a mystery writer would, just like a sci-fi writer would. And we actually have to work harder because a lot of the times people just say that we're really not doing any hard work when we do an erotica romance book. So, you know, I think it's come a long way. I mean, I've only been writing professionally for 2 years, but I was part of Erotica Writers Association almost 10, 11 years now, and it's the mailing list, and we used to write stories and pass them in between each other, and it's still active now, and I
What's it called? The Erotica? What is
that?
I don't know about that. What is it called? Erotica?
It's ERWA. It's Erotica Readers and Writers Association. And sorry, my brain is going quickly.
No, that's
right
good. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've asked so many times on the show if we could have mm-hmm. readers that want to come on and talk. Because if there's readers listening, please call me or otherwise just email me or Bethany. And because I would really like to have some read, I really want to hear what a lot of the readers have to say. And I think
yeah.
our audience would love to hear what they're looking for, you know. And we
yeah.
can't seem to, nobody seems to want to, they're afraid to come on, I think. But no, they can talk about whatever they want. And I thought it would be great to have some readers on, not just only
yeah.
writers, because we want to know what they think.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, like I was going to say, it just seems like that from the time I started actually reading erotica and reading romance, it's really come a long way. And now it's like, I mean, 50 Shades of Grey definitely gave us a boost. And so now people are especially willing to read it because of the e-readers, just like you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, they're more willing to pick it up because they don't have to pick up a cover that looks like 50 Shades of Grey necessarily, or any kind of romance
right.
book. They can just go ahead and get on their Kindle and they can hide it from everybody. So it's definitely boosted now, and I think it's just going to continue to grow, in my opinion.
Elizabeth, you probably have questions because you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, let me think here.
Well, you know, like how many years are you writing? Is it changed?
I had a bit of a false start because the first three publishers that I was with, they closed down before my books were even published. So I spent
oh,
two
really?
Years.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently 2007 was the big heyday year of publishers having all kinds of serious problems and shutting down. And I really didn't get started until about 2008. But,
wow.
Yeah, I think, you know, well, my
they
first
closed
book
out. So what, they gave you a contract and then they just stopped?
Yeah, well,
it,
they gave me a contract and then they went out of business and a lot of people were having a hard time getting the rights back. Or and
wow.
you know like the books that were released, people were not getting the royalties paid to them, and
it
was really really bad. And
yeah,
you know,
I haven't heard.
My books hadn't been out, so you know I just had to get my rights back, and then you know I found a home for the book in a different place. Wow. So, you know, there's that ended up turning out, you know.
Well, that's a tough start because, you know, a lot of people then unfortunately would stop doing it because they would feel like it's, you know, ended, and that's, yeah. But, of course, that was a long, that was a, several years ago, and it has changed. You know, there are so many people that are writing this now where years ago it was more, you know, nobody wanted to look at it. So maybe they got nervous after they started their company and changed their mind and said, well, we better not do this.
Well, I think a lot of it was that there were people that were starting, I mean, they were starting small businesses and they bit off more than they could chew. And another big problem that I noticed with the publishers that went under were health problems. You know, somebody would become very sick and wouldn't be able to, you know, keep the company going. And
well,
it was
this is
a small
hard.
Company,
this is not
so
an easy.
Basically
this is
the
not
person
easy.
That was running it is it. Yeah, it's not easy at all.
Yeah, because Gina's in the chair room, and Gina, I mean, if you just started, you've got a lot of writers, so it's incredible, you know, to be starting and just, and the same for Rebel Inc. You know, they're not old companies, and they've got tons of writers, which is great, you know, and they got good,
but
good
she
writers.
Doesn't take unnecessary risk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's very good with her business. She's careful, and she doesn't risk us or her business. Which is
See, that's
fantastic.
A good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, I mean, this is a hard business, you know, getting you out and, you know, getting the books out and getting the covers. You know, it's not like that easy. I don't think people realize how hard any of this is. You know, Angelica, how did you feel like yourself? Did you, you know, when you started to do this, did you realize how hard this was going to be? Or
sort of, because this was my second pen name.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of trouble getting my first pen name published.
Yeah.
It turned out I got really lucky with Naughty Nights. They were the first publisher I sent my work to, and they accepted it. So that was kind of a Cinderella story, that one. But but definitely trying to find a publisher for my first books was difficult.
Yeah. It is. It's hard to find publishers. That's why people, you know, for years I had a lot of clients, and I couldn't get them published. And then I just said, okay, fine. And I have books myself, so then I just started self-publishing them. And I'm doing the promoting anyway, and not nearly as much as I do now because I didn't have a show before, but that's what you have to do. I mean, and it's very difficult. But you can't stop writing, and that my message is always keep going. And a lot of people, when they start getting rejected, they don't, you know. And even if you're writing a book that doesn't turn out that well, it's still hard to do, you know, no matter what. And you got to have somebody behind you saying, like, okay, you can do this. Because sometimes for all of us, you know, we all, like, start a story and we go, like, I'm sure it happens to everybody. It's like, can I finish this story? Is anybody going to read this story? Mm-hmm. You know, everybody goes through that, but you have to have, like, sometimes, like, people saying, yes, you can do this. You know, I truly believe that, because I think if you just let people out there by themselves with no help and nobody even to talk about, that's why these shows are all good. All of the blog talk, there's a lot of writing shows and think where people are talking about different books. People need to hear about other people's stories, you know, because so they don't give up. This is hard.
Well, that's what social networking is good for, that sort of thing too. Because I've noticed that Facebook and Twitter, I mean, it's a little harder to find the readers, but it's really easy to find the writers. And
there are lots of groups.
I mean, Naughty Nights Press has its own group, and it's, you know, it's a combination of business and support. And there are a lot of writers groups that are like that all over Facebook. And so you can find out from other people with more experience, you know, how to get your books out there. You can find warnings about publishers, or, you know, get praise about publishers. Talk to people that are with a publisher. If you're doing your research.
Well, there's a lot now. You can do videos. You can do a lot of things. Yeah. Okay. Shall we talk about videos? Okay. Gina, very hot video out there. Very hot. Mm-hmm. I was afraid to put it on Blog Talk. It is. You know. And so, I mean, I think that these things people want to see these things, and I think that is, you know, it's not in the closet anymore. It's everybody's, you know, coming out and, you know, and enjoying all these things, because it's just, you know, it's about romance. It's not only just sex. So it's, you know, people like that. You know, I mean, I think that a lot of people that didn't expect to be writing, I mean, I started out wanting to write romance. I never thought that I would be doing, you know, anything like this that was erotic, but erotica, or, you know, I just felt like I wanted to try it, and I got through the first one with Bethany. Hello, Bethany. With Bethany's help. You know, she helped me a little with this, you know, because I write, but I didn't write sex scenes like that. And I, you know, years ago I started writing romance, but not, and then I stopped that and I went into screenplays, but Bethany said, you can do this. And I go, okay, I can do this. And then I did it. And then, but do you feel it was hard to start into this? Does anybody want to take that? Because I know for me, it was hard using some of the words, you know, but once I got it, I'm okay with it now, you know, and I just did it. And I think it was because it was just describing what people are doing. But I think for a lot of people out there, they might want to do this. Does anybody want to say how they started to do this and if it was hard for them?
Well, I actually, like I had mentioned, started with the with ERWA,
yeah.
with the Erotica
yeah.
Readers and Writers Association,
oh,
and
okay.
it was a little hard at first,
right?
Because
it is hard.
I had started writing actually in my late teens, so and I started reading. You know, I guess I'm not very embarrassed to say this. I had started reading like. The Hustler books and
right.
you know,
well,
the
yeah.
magazine articles and stuff like that. And that's how I really got into it. And then I just started reading other people's work. But it was still kind of embarrassing to me to, like, say the words,
I know.
The erotic words
right.
and everything.
Yeah, I know.
But once after, once I got past that, I was fine. I mean, now it's like second nature to me. Now I can't stop. You know, I'm just like, ugh! You know, I just put all out on paper and it's not even embarrassing
well, see, that,
to me
right,
more,
and that's
you know?
One of the things, like Bethany's in the chat room. I know, I was just going to say that before I happened to actually look at the chat room. Okay, the truth is that's why we started, or all of you are on it right now, the authors, you know, our Authors Talk Romance blogspot.com. Bethany and I started it because we felt like if you're out there on Amazon or every in all the other sites, there's millions of people. But in our blog, it's a lot of people that have been on the show, and so and we get out a lot because we do a lot of PR. Virginia does, I do, Bethany does, JD. We all of us at World of Ink, we do a lot of PR. So that's why we did this blog, so we can keep doing things where people will start seeing some of the writers that I have on the show because it's really hard to get noticed out there when there's millions of other writers. It's difficult.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that there are some people that come on shows and they say, oh, yes, I'm selling, selling, selling. And the truth is, no, they're not selling that many. But it's just, you know, we're all hoping to sell more. But
right.
it's a very crowded avenue. Very.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and but I do see a lot of people, like, leaving. And which I said, I've been doing this for years, and I see what's happening, you know, because this is hard, that, you know, when people think that they're going to make $1 million, then they realize when they don't, they have to leave because that's what they came in for. So, but if you come in and you love writing, whatever type of writing it is, then you stay. Because it takes a long time to get established. It doesn't happen 1, 2, 3. And you,
well,
you
I think
have
you have to come
power.
In with an attitude, too. You can't come in and think that you're going to be like E.L. James. You just
yeah,
really
right.
can't, you know, right. because that's like, that's something
well,
that
didn't even
happens,
know she was
gonna, like,
she
everyone.
Didn't know she was,
huh?
She never knew she was going to be that. She
right,
didn't
exactly.
Idea it was
she didn't
happen
know that
like
either,
this.
But I think that people have, like, those expectations and everything.
Yeah.
You can't, you have to really have, like, a passion for writing and stuff and be willing to, like, bleed for it and sweat for it because it's really
yeah.
not easy. I mean,
no.
even if you are with a publisher or self-published,
you still have to do it, yeah.
The promoing and all that. It's just the writing, finding time to write and trying to fit time around family and if you have a day job or whatever, it's grueling, you know. It really is,
yeah.
you know. And so you have to come in with kind of not really low expectations, but at least modest expectations that, okay, I will sell a book today or I will sell 2 books today, you know, and just make it modest. Don't come in and think you're going to sell 500 books in a month.
That's right. Now,
Gina's
really
not going to happen overnight.
Gina's saying the best writers are those who sell themselves, not just their books. And the blog
right,
is a
exactly.
good way to do that. You know, she's right. I mean, because it's true. You have to, you are, you know, I always say, you know, like, you know, we don't think that we're selling, but we are selling. We're selling ourselves and we're selling our stories and we're selling, you know, something that we love. If you don't really like what you're doing, you shouldn't do it because it's going to, you know, people are going to know. you know. And so I do think that there are a lot of people out there that love what they do. And you know, even with like with screenplays, I know like when I call companies and they want, you know, looking for screenplays, they want the next big hit. But nobody ever knows what that is. You know,
right.
They, 50 Shades of Grey, nobody, I don't think anybody could have predicted what happened with that. It was just like one of those things that happens. Twilight, I mean, they don't happen often, but they do happen. And nobody knows who that is.
Right.
You don't know who the next one will be. You just there's no way to know that. You don't write it thinking that that's what's going to happen because it usually doesn't. But if it does, I'm sure it's really nice.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that
kind of success is very, very rare. I mean, most people, I mean, even the famous writers have been rejected like 20, 40, 80 times before they, you know, finally get something published. And even, you know, even then, it's the rejection after rejection, and it's part of a writer's life. And, you know, the way I handle it is I'll have a list of about 5 or 6 different publishing houses or anthologies or magazines that I want to send a story to. And the moment that I get a rejection from, from one of the, you know, any publisher, first I'll look at them. First I'll see if there are any notes in there that could give me some hints as far as improving the story. If there are, I'll work on it. If there aren't, I send it right out again immediately to whatever is next on my list.
Right.
Because eventually it'll get accepted. But if you stop and get depressed about it, it's really hard to pick yourself back up again.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, but, you know, there are the times when everybody feels like, okay, can I keep doing this? And then there's the next moment that goes like, yes, I can do this. Because you are going to do this, you know. I mean, because everybody gets that, you know. And no matter how many people I have on the show, there's always people saying that, you know, somewhere in the while they're doing the story, they go, is this going to sell? Should I do something else? And they're always thinking of a better story they could be writing than the one they're writing. You know,
this is why I write in so many genres.
Yeah.
Because until I got accepted in any of them, it's like, well, maybe I'm just not good at this one. Maybe I should try something else. So, yeah, I have an adult literary fiction and young adult and erotica.
But it is hard. You know, when you're writing in one, like when if you write a children's book, it is hard because you do have to, sometimes your mindset does have to be on that while you're writing it. And, you know,
definitely.
Like if the characters are talking to you or something like that and you don't want your kids' characters talking to you while you're doing the erotic because it doesn't work very well. But, you know, it's like, but we're all that way. I think we all feel the same things. And I think that's why what I do on my show is try to explain to people that if it's horror, whatever it is, it's we all go through the same pain, you know. And that's why people, when they go like, well, I've talked to Elizabeth about that. Oh, I don't want to read horror stuff, you know, horror. But horror is really like it's dark thriller. It's not, you know, it's... That right now, because we have to do this with Amazon and all these places that make us put a genre on it so much, you know, that once you write it, you know, even when they go, you have to go like 1, 2, 3, 4, how steamy is it? I mean, is it this steamy? Is it that? You know, and sometimes it really gets readers to very confused. And that's the bad thing because they're missing a lot of good books that they would have read. And that's why, you know, that's one of the reasons I do what I do, because I just constantly say, I mean, over and over, year after year, I always felt these things that I told my clients, but most of the people that I had writing, it was my clients, they gave up long before they should have. And it always made me feel bad, but they do. And I still see some of them. They probably don't think I remember them, but I do. I see them on Facebook. I see them all over. They're still out there, but they're not really writing, and they were good. But they gave up. They gave up way too soon. So
if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that a lot of people have this impression that, you know, the goal is to get published, but they don't think past that. So you get your book published, and then you think immediately it's going to sell, or even if it doesn't sell, like, millions. It'll sell well. You'll do book tours. The book will be in the library. Your book will be in bookstores. And it turns out that that's not quite what happens, especially if you're into e-books. So then you have to get into the promotions. And most publishing houses, and especially the small ones, don't do promotions. The Naughty Nights Press is unusual because it does promotions. They do blog tours. They have a photographer that takes the cover art, you know, the cover art pictures. And, I mean, that was one thing that sold me on Naughty Nights Press. When I looked into it, I was asking, you know, what kind of promotions do you do? Because there are a couple of publishers that I'm with now that I'm, you know, pulling out of that don't do anything at all. Absolutely nothing. And that, you know, and I mean, a lot of people are self-publishing because
no,
they're thinking,
I have to
why
say
should
though.
I give my money to a publisher that isn't doing anything
yeah.
for me when I'm doing all the work? So I want to keep as much of my money as I can. So you've got that kind of thing going.
You know what?
Too.
I agree with you on one thing though, because when I was well, that's why Bethany, I started these things. But that Naughty Nights, there's a lot of PR on you on Naughty. And there's not a lot on a lot of other, because we go in and mm-hmm. looking for things when I have guests, and I'm shocked sometimes that there's nothing. No, there's a lot. There's videos. There are a lot of things out on Naughty Nights. And for a short period of time that she's been in business, this is great. I mean, she's out there a lot. And we notice that a lot because when I go in for the shows to see what's out, I am shocked that some people have absolutely nothing on them. And it's unbelievable. And they have a lot of books. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, there's going to be so much. And I look and I go, where are they? And it's shocking to me. And so I think that, yes, Gina, I think that that's a smart thing to do, because if you do that with all your authors, you keep them. And then they get
right.
more successful and they keep writing. But then they won't get the press. No, it's true. It matters a lot because the marketing part is really hard. You know, that's, you know, World of Ink, we do a lot of marketing. Virginia does a lot of book tours. You know, I don't do the book tours. She does them. And they've been really helpful. And I'm having a couple people on that do promotions and do things. I mean, they're going to be coming on in a couple weeks. And Contact Romance Promotions, she's going to come on because there's little things that she does. And she is a reader that opened this company. So that's a good thing. And she knows where to, you know, how to help the people get their reviews and things from reviewers, not just from, like, everybody and their brother. Because, you know, a lot of people that are doing reviews now should not be doing reviews. And so if people get bad reviews, it's maybe not from a reviewer. It's just from a person out there that doesn't like their book. And that is not really fair in a lot of ways, you know, because I know that everybody's looking to have 200 book reviews. I don't care to have 200 book reviews because I'm going to drive everybody crazy to review my book. And I want them to read it, not review it always. I don't review books, but it seems like everybody is just out there asking people. I had somebody today I was talking to, they actually said, don't ask me to keep buying your books. I mean, they do that a lot to people. And they want a review, but you can't ask everybody for a review. It's just not right. And I think that when there are reviews out there that people are that aren't favorable, it's just their opinion. So I think that people have to realize that don't get upset if they get a bad review, because it's just a person's opinion, you know, of what they may not like it, but that doesn't mean 10 other people won't love it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, how does everybody feel about reviews when they get them?
I hate them.
Oh, like them.
I got a really good review on Candyman, so I was really happy about that. I think the best way to handle a review as an author is with a grain of salt, because you really want to not get too high with a good one and not too low with a bad one, because if you do, you're like going to drive yourself crazy. I mean, especially with what I love to hate, which is Goodreads. I love Goodreads and I hate Goodreads at the same time.
I go on there and I like have to leave as soon as I'm on there. It's overwhelming to anybody.
I mean, I've read one of my reviews today and I was just like, why did I do that? You know, because I didn't agree with it. And I never answer them or anything like that. If I get a good review, I thank the reviewer for it. The ones I appreciate more, I think, more than the professional reviews is an actual reader's review, where a reader actually goes on Amazon or will write me personally or something about one of my books, and I appreciate those a whole lot more because it seems like it's the person that's actually read it instead of, you know, okay,
yeah, you can tell
my book or whatever, you know. So, but yeah, going back to that point, I really do think that as an author, you really need to, like, just sometimes if the review really hurts, just if you drink, just get a bottle of wine, some chocolate and just settle down and write your next book, because bad reviews are going to come regardless. You're going to think the book is 5 stars. This reviewer is going to hate it, and that's just the way it is. It's probably going to happen with each and every book you put out. You're going to have one person that just absolutely hates it, but you might have 3 other people that love it, and you just have to kind of like just kind of stay on an even keel. You
well,
know,
right. It's like if you go to a movie, like three people, maybe with 6 people, 3 like it, 3 don't. You know, I mean, and that's just how it is. And I just, you know, over the years, you know, and now it's much more prevalent because everybody's reviewing everybody's books. And I think Amazon is taking off a lot. I think they actually want to take off a lot of the writers that are reviewers now because they know that people are asking people. Yeah, because they're asking people, each person is saying, like, you review mine, I'll review yours, give me a good review, I'll do the same for you. And that's bad. I mean, that really is. It takes away from, you know, I think that whoever you're published by, I think the reader, they don't care as much who the publisher is. They just want to read a good book. And so when they're reading it, they don't want people that are just doing things to be not that nice to be writing things about it. They just want to read a book and have a good time with the book. You know, they're not thinking about all the things we are because they're just wanting to read a book. That's it. They
don't, it doesn't go further.
Well,
some reviews are almost like they're from Bizarro Land. Because there's one review that I had the one review that I have, she only read 2 pages of the book and stopped because there was sex on the second page. And I think she gave me like 2 stars or something like that. And I thought, it's an erotic book. It's supposed to have sex in it. What were you expecting? But I've seen other people that, you know, readers would complain about the sex in an erotic book. And then I'm thinking, well, then why did you buy it?
I know,
if
but you know what the thing is, though?
Sex.
Yeah, but you know, in all the mainstream novels, there's sex in it. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, and when you write a thriller or you write a murder mystery or whatever, there's sex in it. Almost every single book. So I don't know. That's why I do this, because it drives me crazy that they can write a really intense sex scene in a thriller, and that's not considered an erotica or erotic book. But if you're in that genre, they go, oh, we can't read this, you know. And that's, you know, it's ridiculous. That's one of the problems I see. It's not. I just don't think it's fair to say that other books, you know, because regular books. Just thrillers. There's a lot of sex in them. There's a ton of it, you know, and that's ruined it for a lot of writers. So I hope that someday, that this will not be an issue for people. They'll just read a book for what it is. And
well,
not.
I mean, sex is part of romance. If you're writing romance and you don't have any sex in it, then you're leaving out one of the most important parts of your story.
Right. Right. But I think, and same thing in a thriller. I've written screenplays, and, you know, you don't have to do graphic or anything like that. In a screenplay, you just write, okay, they're in the bedroom, they're having sex. Okay, that's it. You know, you don't write anything else because it depends on the director, what they're going to do, you know, in the screenplay. But when you're doing a book, people really they like these scenes. It's not anything that, you know, people should shy away from. They could, you know, and I think a lot of people read it, but then I think a lot of people say, oh, I can't read it, and they're reading it anyway. So, you know, I think you should just forget about it.
Well, having a Kindle reader helps because you get privacy. You know, nobody's sitting here looking at your, your bodice ripper with the, you know, with the ripped abs and, the oiled men that are on the cover. So you have your Kindle reader where you get some privacy. So I think that's one reason that erotic books are really picking up. I think it's the e-book readers.
Yeah, I think, that's definitely. And I think that a lot of the publishers, you know, Harlequin now has it. I mean, they're all starting to have it. A lot of them have, you know, are a little bit late, and they've started to lose money. And, you know, that's what happened because they didn't think this was going to happen so fast. But it did. The ebook market, I just had something, and I put it on one of my blogs, too, that says that the ebooks are really, really an important part these days. I mean, there's a lot of ebooks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there really are. And there's a lot to choose from. And they don't have to have you can do it on a, I think a lot of people don't know that if they have on their computer, they can read the book because you don't have to have a Kindle. You just have to sign up for Kindle, and it'll come on your computer.
App. Yeah. Yeah, my husband had the app on his PC, and now I have a Kindle, but he'll read his books.
Yeah, but there's so many readers now. I mean, there's all these Sony readers. There's tons of different kind of readers now, and I think that's the Nook. I mean, I think they've opened up the market a lot because of that, which has been this last year, because the iPad is expensive, and the other ones are a lot less money. And they're fine. People are reading the books, and I do think people are reading more books than they ever did.
Yeah.
I think
just like you said, because it's easier now. You can carry around a book with you and not carry around a paperback book. You can just put it, and you can download the apps on anything you have, whether it's an iPad or a regular tablet or whatever. And they're really cheap, some of them. All you have to do is just download the free app. You can still read the book regardless.
Okay,
I like to read more than one book. Go ahead.
What were you going to say? Go ahead, Elizabeth. What were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I like to read more than one book at a time. And there's only so much room in my, and I don't have a horse feed purse. I don't have one where I can put in five or six books. And, a book of short stories, and then a horror novel, and then an erotica novel. So the Kindle is great because I can have several hundred books just on this little computer. And I can pull up, I can pull up any book that I want. And I don't have to carry them around with me. I have a feeling that, when the e-book readers really take off and people get more into those than they do into paperbacks, and print books, we're going to see bookcases go away because you have a lot more room, so that'll free up everything in your house.
That's true. I never thought about it that way. But I think people can read whatever they want in their privacy. Like you're saying, like Hustler and those kind of magazines, people used to like shy away from those things. And you know what? But they had to hold them up. But this is different. You don't have to do that. You just put it, nobody knows what you're reading.
Right.
It's like, unless you're cheating, you kind of look and say, how many pages is this? That's the only thing I hate about this. They don't say, sometimes how many pages. And it's like, I have to try to figure out, am I at the beginning, middle, or, you can't tell a lot of times.
It gives you a percentage, like you're 35% of the way into the book.
I don't know what page this is.
If this was a nonfiction book, it would drive me crazy because I wouldn't be able to point out references.
It does do that. I know. All right, so is writing characters, does anybody have a tough time doing them, or do they just come up with a character? I come up with a character, and then I find a lot of things, that my character does. I like the names first and things like that. Cree, what about you? How do you come up with a character and a name?
For my first book, I was looking through Avon magazine, and they tend to have some good-looking male models. And there was one that showed up for a cologne, and he had a cowboy hat and some sunglasses.
I know what that is.
And I was like, that is Jack Coon.
They do have a lot now. They have a lot of male, they have a lot of products for men now, a ton.
Yeah.
They didn't used to have that. Right, that's interesting. I've not heard that. Okay, so you saw them there. Okay.
Normally, they don't show up that way. Usually, I'm walking or something, and I'll be thinking, and I'll come up with, a personality trait that I really like, a quirky behavior that I think, and the face kind of follows along afterwards. It's not the most important thing, but I go for the quirky personality trait.
Angelica, what about you, Angelica?
Character is usually the very first thing I have. I often don't have a story or a plot.
Right.
I just have a character. And then I throw things at them, and I'm really mean to them. And eventually I have a story. Even in my flash fiction pieces, it's the one thing I get complimented on the most is how realistic my characters are and how you can instantly associate with them. And so, names is usually the last thing I come up with.
Shakira, how about you?
It's just he and she for the longest time, and then it's like, okay, I really need to give you a name now.
Anita, how about you? Same thing? Or how do you come up with your character? Just a name first?
Sorry. I'm well known for, looking around for male characters since I do write gay male romance.
Uh-huh.
I look at a lot of models. Or musicians or actors or something like that.
You go on Pinterest? Do you go on Pinterest? Because there's a lot of guys on Pinterest. Are you on Pinterest?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
as soon as
so
I post
I,
a guy, as soon
so
as
I'll
I
just,
post a guy.
Sometimes I just
and,
put a face with a name.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I think it was Angel who just said she has a character, not a story. Usually that's
yeah.
me, too. I come
yeah.
up with a character before they
yeah.
have a story. And then if they're really active, you know, if it's an active muse, they'll just throw a story at me, and I'll go, okay, I guess that'll work. You know,
yeah.
I'll just start jotting some things down, whatever. And
yeah.
eventually a story will get built around that character or that face. So, you know, but, yeah, I definitely start out with the look of the person. And if they really have, like, whatever they're standing in, if it's they're standing in, like, a field and they have cowboy boots on or something like that, you know, that might have a Western story or something like that. I mean, it would just come up to me. And if it's really interesting, then I'll just start jotting some notes down. And I might not even get back to those notes unless it's, like, something important that really grabs me. But, yeah, I definitely, like, look at faces and stuff first.
Yeah. See, that's, yeah. I mean, we all, because everybody has their own, you know, type of what they see in their head. I mean, I have a habit, you know, my editor sometimes will say to me, goes, like, do you know that you did that name several times? But I guess if I see it in my head and that's what I see, that name comes up. I don't know. You know, it's just, I guess we all see what we see when we're not even realizing it. When we pick somebody, we see that person as that name. You know,
I've been having fun with my prequels because they're taking place in the past. I get to dig up old names, so that's fun.
Yeah, that probably is because there's a lot of the same. Yeah, that's writing in the past. I've not done anything historical yet. It's not, you know, I haven't really.
This is my
done.
First.
Yeah, it's your first. Okay, so like,
yeah.
what made you want to do that?
Well, it's the I wrote the Blue Moon House, which was set
uh-huh.
contemporary,
uh-huh.
and of course the vampires are centuries old. So
yes, that's true.
I'm going back to when each of them joined Blue Moon House and became a vampire.
Oh.
So
well,
the first one set
so
in the early 1900s, and then they just keep going back. So.
So are you going to put in the words of the 1900s, or are you going to put in
some? Certainly, when they're speaking, I do
yeah.
that. But description-wise, no. I find it's just too hard to read.
Yeah. No, that's what, yeah, I know, because I really was discussing that the other day, because I do find it very hard to read, because sometimes the words, you know, I think it distracts people sometimes. I mean, you know, I have a feeling that it does distract a lot of readers, but then again, the historical readers really like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't, it could be considered Regency time, but it does not read
yeah.
like Jane Austen. I don't write like Jane Austen.
Really? Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, we don't really know. She may have had another name. We don't know that.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
You never know.
You know, some of the older styles of writing are they're almost like exercises, because there's a submission call out now to take
yeah.
classic, you know, classic novels that are in the public domain and sex them up. So
yeah.
you take Wuthering Heights. And instead of the
yeah.
you know, the glances here and there, you actually write the sex scenes. And
yeah.
This is the second call that I've seen for something like that.
Yeah, I think.
And then
so.
There
where
was
did
one
you
for
that?
There was one for Edgar Allan Poe where they wanted to do
that?
The sex up stories. I saw that on Broad Universe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was told about it. Women's writers group.
Yeah. It's interesting, yeah. I remember seeing something like that because I was thinking like that. Yeah, because, right, they just want to put it in there now. So they want to sell.
Well, the sexing up fairy tales is huge right now. Almost everybody's writing that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I do the fairy
yeah.
tales.
Well, you know, we all have, there's so many different markets out there that people could get into. You know, it's never ending. I mean, there are. You can do so many things now that you couldn't do years ago. And even, I think, Elizabeth, you've talked about that before, you know, being taken off sites and things like that. Now it's much more open, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, it was closed. For some time they got, you know, they were closed to a lot of writers. You know, now it's pretty much really open from what I can see, you know. And, you know, I think that, you know, some of the sites, you know, are a little intense, but I think that, you have to, it asks people, see, the only thing I don't understand is it asks people if they're 18 or over, but so if you answer yes and you're 14, what is that? I don't know. That's the thing I don't get. Because
They had something like that on The Simpsons when, you know, Bart was going to go into a porn site. Are you 18 or over? Yes, click.
Yes, right. I mean, because that seems
kind of an honor system
happening, right? And really,
yeah, but
like
even if you made it harder, they'd find a way around. I mean,
yeah, I think
yeah. They're resourceful.
I think, yeah. Anybody else have any last words for this? And we're going to just, I'm going to let everybody give their, web addresses so everybody can find you. But, you want to go first, Angelica? Go ahead. Where everybody can find
you. Sure, okay. Angelica Dawson, and I'm at Angelica Dawson on Twitter, Facebook/author Angelica Dawson, and angelicadawson.blogspot.com is my blog and webpage.
Okay. Cree?
Cree Walker?
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
<Okay. That's>
Cree
okay.
Walker, and I'm on Facebook, and as well as creewalker.wordpress.com.
Okay. And I should say that everybody's on the Naughty, you know, well, you're all on that, and I think you have a blog, too.
Yeah, you can search for us on there, and books come up.
Everybody. Yeah, well, no, you do it. Even if you look up, you know, even if you, Naughty Nights, if you look that up, you know, on, you know, Google, you come up a lot. So they can find different authors there, because I've saw a lot of things for, you know, videos and a lot of different things, which is very good, you know, which means that there's a lot of PR going out, because it's hard to do that. We come up a lot, too, because World of Ink comes up all the time. I come up, and, you know, we all do. Bethany, you know, Virginia, we all do, because you have to do it every day. You can't, you keep doing things, you know. And we're going to have a couple shows in a few weeks we're going to actually have Marnie with us that does, she does our Twitter and Facebook, and she really has been helping a lot of people. And Virginia and I are coming up with a lot of new programs that are not very expensive for people to do, because Marnie is going to do a lot of them, and I don't edit or things like that, but we're offering that for people we have really good people that do these things that, you know, we refer you to, because it's just a nightmare out there to just go to people you don't know, you know, and the Twitter and Facebook and all of the social marketing, most of the people, we all need to be writing more, because this takes up so much time that it's unbelievable. So I'm going to have a couple shows next few weeks. So I'll email everybody, and you'll see it on the Facebook, because I think that's what people need, and not that are not affordable. Because if it's if it's too expensive, it's just too much. People can't afford to do things that are so much money, because, you know, if you get a PR agent, they're a fortune. So, you know, we're trying to come up with things and find people that will do this for people, not, you know, with an affordable price. Okay, so all right, so I think Sherita, we left you here. There we go. Okay, we're gonna say who you are.
Okay, yeah, I'm author Sherita Lira on Facebook. My Twitter is kind of weird, but it's all my names together. So it's Raria Mike MBL. That's all the names together at Twitter, and the website is easier to remember. It's it's littriad.com. So it's littriad.com. And that's where you'll find other blog addresses instead of me just reciting them all. So, but yeah, that's where I am.
Yeah, we all have so much going on. Right, Elizabeth, you get a lot. We all do. I know it's true.
I'm pretty much Elizabeth A. Black at everything. It's Elizabeth A. Black on Facebook, and the same on Twitter, and it's Elizabeth A. Black at blogspot.com. Or, I mean, even if you just plug in Elizabeth Black on Google, you'll find me right away. I'm on the first page.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's several Elizabeth Blacks, but, I mean, you know, I'm the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there are a few. Yeah, I know. There's a few. I know. I picked a name, Madison, where... Madison is, there's a lot of Madison Montgomery, a ton of them. But there's not a lot of Marcia Casper Cooks, so that's why we still use that name. So that's why I'm doing it. Okay, Bethany, what about you? Bethany, what happened? Did she go off? Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, okay.
Okay. Hi, I'm on Facebook, Bethany Cross. We have two blogs, Romance Erotic Style and Authors Talk Romance at blogspot.com. My books are on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere that books are sold.
Yeah.
And we usually hang out somewhere.
Yeah, you're... We are somewhere, no kidding. And I am at Michigan Avenue Media .com and World of Ink .com and MarciaCasperCook.com and at our authors. You know, we're putting a lot of things on the Authors Talk Romance blogspot.com because that seems to be a lot of fun, you know. And all of you are on there, so, you know, you could go look at it and your books are there and you're all invited. Anytime you have new books or you want to come on, just let me know. And Gina has left the building, as we say. She's got tired because it's later for everybody. And I think that's it. And tomorrow is Virginia's show, and so she'll be on at 4 Eastern. And so, everybody, thank you so much for being on. And
thank you.
I'll be more than happy to have everybody again. It seems like everybody here has got a really good start going here. For a few years, you've got a lot of things going on, which is good.
I just want to mention, I think you might have just stumbled onto another topic if you haven't already done it, how to select a pen name.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right, well,
you want to find
something that there aren't a hundred of.
Does
anybody want to just take that for a second? I just pick names out sometimes that I don't know where they come from. Anybody want to just take that for a second? How did you get your pen name?
Oh, mine, I'm a botanist by trade, environmental scientist. So Angelica Dawson... Dawsonii is a yellow flower in the carrot family that grows here. So that's how I picked my name. And I went and searched and made sure that there weren't 50 of them already out there, and there weren't. It's a relatively uncommon name. So I went, all right, that's it. That's my pen name.
So you never know until that. Yeah, I know. Huh. All right. Anybody else want to take that before we go?
No,
well,
for me,
Elizabeth
is my...
Fine.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Elizabeth is my favorite woman's name, so that was an automatic. And when it came to selecting the last name, I wanted to start with it's somewhere in the B's, because when you're standing in a bookstore at eye level, that's where the B books are. So I selected Elizabeth Black.
Wow.
Oh, that's where that came from.
That's a good idea.
All about gaming the system.
Yeah.
Now, all right, Cree, do you want to, because do people think that's a male name? Yes.
Cree?
Mm-hmm.
I hope
do they? No, do they? I don't know.
Short.
I felt it might.
It's
yeah,
short for Cree.
Oh, all right. Okay, because when I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah, no, I had a foster sister named Cree, and I always liked the name. I didn't like her much. She wasn't very nice. And as far as walking is concerned, I tend to do a lot of walking, so that's it.
Okay, so that's how you got it. All right. All right. Well, you know, Sherita...
Yeah.
You have a lot of names,
you have a few. I have three. Bea Morticia is my original muse. I'm into rock and roll music, and I love Morticia Adams from the Adams Family, so that's where that came from.
Right.
Please, Black Morticia. And then Rariam is Indian for storyteller. She's actually my newest muse, and I picked her last year. And Michael Mandrake is just, I love the name Michael, and Mandrake has something to do with gay writing somewhere. Somebody told me that that's where it came from, but I like the name.
Right.
I didn't even know that when I picked it. So,
Sometimes you don't know these things, I just
put them together.
I've never asked that question. That is a good question, because I've never asked that one, because we have so many, a lot of people have a lot of names, you know. And
do you want to name where my name came from, Marcia?
Yes, I do.
You've never, I don't think. Actually, I was going through a little town called Bethany, Missouri, and I thought, Bethany, wow, that's a pretty name. And so I thought, Bethany, Bethlehem, Jesus, Cross, Bethany Cross.
Well, that's, I never asked you that. Look at that. That's an interesting thing. We should ask a lot of our guests that, you know, because it's true. You just never know where you know, because I have several names that I've used in the past, but, you know, it is strange how you pick those, because we all do have ways to pick it. So this might be the question of every show now. Should we ask that if I remember to do that? Okay, I will, because I like that. It's an interesting thing, because everybody, there's a lot of people that have names that they really do. I didn't realize as many, but there are. In this field, there are.
a lot of names that are not, because they have small kids, they just, you know, we've had a lot of them on, and, you know, they're in the PTA, so I don't think a lot of the PTA wants to know about all of this.
Okay.
You know, although they probably all read them in the PTA anyway. You know, you never know. All right, so thank you all for being on. Bethany, thank you, and I'll probably be listening to Fran's show tomorrow. And everybody have a good night. Thank you so much for all being on the show.
Thank you. Thank
good
you.
Night.
Good night.
Thank you.
And goodbye. Elizabeth, thank you for helping.
Yeah, thank you too.
Always.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.